You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm welcoming back to the show Michael Zhuang. He was on a couple of weeks ago talking to us about he and his friends being assaulted when protesting in Auckland against the visit of the Chinese Communist Party premier. You may have seen footage of him and his friend Jian Zhen being attacked. And we talked about what happened. And so, Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Now, the reason we've got you back is more has happened since then. So, obviously, there was the attack. You were waving a Taiwanese flag. You were chased into a bus. Police were investigating. But more has happened since then. So, update our listeners what's particularly happened to Jian.
Yeah, so I was actually overseas, almost immediately after the incident. But while I was away, so Jian actually, he told me that he came back home one day and saw feces on his front door, which was quite disgusting. And when he looked further in the mailbox, there were like crystal-like, two bags of crystal-like, you know, stuff in there, which looks like meth, but in the end, the police had it tested. They said it was not drugs, so they destroyed it, but it was extremely odd.
Well, it was. I mean, you don't expect... It's not an unusual occurrence to have feces and or drug-like substances appear, so this must have rattled Jian and probably yourself and others a little bit, that you're still being targeted. Is that how you perceive things?
Yes, and I've spoken to him. That's certainly how he would perceive it. And I think for the New Zealand public, lots of people would be like, oh, is that a little bit far-fetched? Is this possible? And from my perspective, I would say it's definitely possible. And because we've seen this kind of trend not only in New Zealand, but also like in Australia, in the United States, in Europe. And this kind of intimidation tactic is what the CCP's proxies tend to do. And I was actually at the Auckland City Police just on Saturday giving a statement about the incident, because I was overseas before. But so I was, you know, running through the event, like, you know, about everything that happened, and the officer actually asked me to describe the guy who's like shouting and telling all the people to beat up Jiang at the scene. And I said, well, it's a guy, you know, in suits and ties, and he was asking like, oh, is he tall, short, etc., etc. And I was saying, to be honest, I doubt you're going to get that guy, because at the end of the day, you might find that he has diplomatic immunity. And what I'm saying is that lots of people in New Zealand, I think, are unaware like how an authoritarian regime like China is able to infiltrate, and they're able to undermine the sovereignties of different countries. And they use this kind of tactic to intimidate people a lot. And it's been documented in Paula Penfold's documentary, The Long Game. There was that guy who allegedly, the CCP says he owes money and wants him back, and they just sent people here to beat him up randomly when he's out, you know, on New Zealand soil. And that stuff happens. So it is definitely not, to me, it's definitely not far-fetched that Jiang's super concerned about what happened, and he was he felt like this could be some kind of intimidation tactic to try to shut him up. It's definitely possible to me.
So what you're saying, and I've seen it before, that many ways the actions which you're talking about that's happened to you and to Jian are standard. These happened before. There's obviously acts of violence. There are acts where people do put things in letterboxes, be it, like you've said, in this case, quite disgusting items, but there are ways to signal disapproval, and also the use of social media. I've certainly seen a lot I have to get it translated, but I've seen a lot of material that goes around WeChat naming and shaming democracy activists. Yeah. So again, this is pretty standard tactics that we've seen before in New Zealand and around the world.
Yes, actually, in the Chinese social media circles on WeChat, they even put up my picture and Jiang's, and they're saying that we're anti-China activists or something like that, you know. And from that guy, Morgan Tsao, the former, I think, was a city councilor of Auckland or something, and also from one of the pro-China newspapers, which I've never heard of before. I don't know if anybody reads it, but but yeah, I was on front page with Jiang. They were, attacking us, accusing us of some kind of supposed crime that doesn't really exist in New Zealand.
So it's a name and shame type dynamic. Yeah. Is that what they're aiming for? And would you, from your experience in this space, this is not random, is it? This is not just a couple of people who decide. There's usually some orchestration or encouragement from official channels to do this.
Yes, this is all of this stuff is all well organized. Like even the supporters of the premier, like in Wellington, they were being bussed from places like Palmerston North, where the universities are, and lots of it's all well organized by the embassy, by those proxy groups. They covered their like food, sometimes even accommodation, and all name and shame and everything. This is all planned and organized. It's not just like randomly just this guy pops up and just decided to attack me, for no reason. Like I wouldn't just go randomly attack people without any interest in this. Like, are they getting paid or are they getting funded, supported one way or the other, something like that.
So what does it mean for people like yourself then and Jian and many others? You're, two of many democracy activists that I know of and human rights activists. But, when an intimidation like this happens, do you have to change how you live? Do you have to think about your home security? Do you have to think about where you travel? I mean, what's the impact on you?
Personally, for myself, it hasn't reached that stage yet, but I know there are like Chinese pro-democracy activists in the US and in Canada who have installed cameras around their houses because of people going there and taking pictures and because of this kind of behavior. In the States, I'm aware of if people even, getting armed, being prepared. And that's, so yeah, it is a concern. And like, from what I know, from what I've seen in the Chinese community, there are more people who are critical of the regime, but overwhelming majority of them would not say anything in public because of their tactics, because of what they do. And people like me is just a slim minority. I mean, people who like Chinese people who are against the regime may be a minority, yes. There's more in out of China who are like critical of the regime than in China. But the thing is, even those people who are critical of the CCP, most of them do not really come out and talk about it.
Part of the reason, isn't it? That's part of the reason that they attacked you, why they've put substances into Jian's letterboxes to not only intimidate you two, but to send a signal to others. We know exactly who you are, and there's consequences. So do you think New Zealanders, or certainly the police, understand it? Have they taken this seriously enough, in your opinion?
Well, no. I mean, because what we've seen, even you, sir, you've been a victim of CCP's targeted hacking while you were in parliament, and intelligence, everybody, they didn't even bother telling you. Like, your emails were like, hacked or leaked or something. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even tell you. Like, so compared to what I'm experiencing, like, you were a sitting MP at that time. You had access to more sensitive information. It had, like, in their emails, really, there's private communications between you and me and possibly, you know, other stuff that and they didn't even bother telling you, which says a lot. They really didn't know what to do. And like the police and like, is it SIS? I don't know if they're prepared, because the thing is, even if they figure out what's happening, what I've noticed is that there seems to be no laws they can use, or maybe they're not using to do anything. Because in the past, like a few years, in the States, they've arrested quite a few people. FBI, they've arrested quite a few people for this, for espionage, for spying, for intimidating overseas, like Tibetan or Chinese dissidents. They've done that. They have stronger laws on espionage, on acting as a foreign agent. I think that's how they call it. But I've seen none of that in New Zealand or not Australia. I don't think any other Western
Australia's passed a law more recently. They're only beginning to deploy it. But, you know, we are miles. You're dead right, Michael. We are miles behind. And I think it's one of the reasons why I've got you on again, and why we talk about this, is New Zealanders, particularly our intelligence and security teams, need to wake up, for want of a better term, and be more aware of what's happening. And I might add too, it is one of the reasons I got so upset at how our intelligence and parliamentary agencies acted when myself and Louisa Wall and Anne-Marie Brady got targeted by the CCP. It's like, actually, we do have sensitive information. We work with activists, defectors, and others, and, you know, I don't want those compromised. So, yeah, I think that's the fundamental point. This is happening. It's orchestrated, and it's something that we need to take seriously. But, Michael, thank you for your time, and regards to Gian as well. And, look, just thanks so much for coming in and letting us know what's happening and updating us on the recent activities.
Thank you very much, Simon. Thank you.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.